Well, the outline I'm using this evening actually was sent to me from Brother Zimmerman down in Brisbane. He thought that this might be a good outline to go with things with this weekend. I'm hoping to put something on here. We notice in there's a phrase that we particularly want to look at. The phrase is there three times. There's a little bit of variation in that phrase, but tonight we're particularly interested in the phrase, feed my sheep. We find that Jesus says to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And then he says the third time, feed my sheep. So, there's no doubt if you were here at lunchtime, you got fed. I am sure if you went hungry, well, that was your own fault. That was your own fault. But there was plenty of food on offer this morning. And not just physical food. If you came to church this morning with your ears open and your heart ready to receive the Word of God, you too would have got fed this morning. I certainly got fed this morning in Sunday school and in the morning message, and thankful for the Lord for that. But there's no doubt that all this food that was prepared for us didn't just jump together by itself. That physical food, the ladies would have spent hours cooking, preparing these dishes, spending time and energy yesterday that we might be fed today. They worked that we might be fed. And the men that brought the word this morning, they put in time. They also put in energy so that we might be fed. And so the word feed there indicates that there is work to do. You can ask any wife that does any cooking for their husband. Breakfast, lunch and dinner takes time. It's work. It's not easy, particularly if she has to cook in a hot kitchen on a hot day. You might come home from work and see your wife slaving away in order that you might be fed, that your children might be fed. And I thank the Lord for my wife, that she's always busy trying to prepare a meal, even though she knows it's not necessary if she's had a hard day. She still likes to make sure that I have a hot meal to sit down to at night. We call people that work by different names. If you have work, you might be a labourer. We find in the Bible that the Lord needs labourers. Sometimes we might call them a minister. As Pastor Phil spoke this morning about Elisha ministering to Elijah. Elisha's call to the ministry was just to minister to Elijah at the start. And that word simply means just to serve, to do service, to be a servant, to wait on somebody. Elisha was a servant to Elijah. He was a servant to Elisha. And that's another word that we can use. We might call somebody that feeds someone else a servant, a servant. And that's what the first part of the outline is. We are servants. We are servants. In fact, this is what Paul called himself in Romans chapter 1. He said, and I don't want to repeat the message I brought whenever that was a while ago, but Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Now, the word we're obviously interested in there is the word servant. Because that is what we are. Well, I hope that is what you see yourself as. I hope you see yourself as a servant of Jesus Christ. The Greek word there is doulos, and it means a slave. It means a slave, so it means also bondman, a servant. Now, this slave could be involuntary or voluntary, but Paul saw himself as a bond slave to Christ. He knew he was bought with a price, not silver or gold, not anything that could perish. He saw that he was bought with the precious eternal blood of Christ. And so Paul happily called himself a slave. He happily called himself a servant in the sense that he's not his own anymore. He's bought with a price. He's owned by God, and Paul saw himself as that. He saw that he was owned by someone else. I'm not sure if you've seen lately the beauty that is in Christ. Every time I get a glimpse just of Christ, and I hope it's the same for you, but I get a glimpse of what Christ has done for me, and I can't say anything but, Lord, what would thou have me do? Lord, I just want to serve you. What do you want me to do, Lord? Here I am, Lord, use me. I want to serve the Lord. I see what he's done for me, and it just brings me great joy. I want to do something for him. I want to serve him. And I hope you feel the same. I hope you, when you look at the cross, when you survey the cross, when you survey the wondrous works of Christ, that you get a glimpse and you say, Lord, what is it? What is it you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? Jesus said, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Happy are ye. Well, Jesus tells Peter, feed my sheep. So the next word we have is my. Feed my sheep. Now, Psalm 100 and verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. The flock down at Calandra is not Pastor Phil's. The flock at Ayr is not Pastor Ian's. And the flock here is not Pastor Body's. We find in this next word whose flock they are. They are God's. They are God's. Jesus did not say to Peter, feed the sheep. He did not say to Peter, feed your sheep. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. They are God's. Now, Peter understood this because we find that about 35 odd years later, in 1 Peter, he writes in chapter 5 and verses 2 and 3, he writes to the elders and says, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. He knew they weren't his sheep. They're not my sheep. They're not Pastor Buddy's sheep. They're not Pastor Phil's or Pastor Ian's. They're the Lord's sheep. They're the Lord's sheep. Now, if they are God's, what does that make us? What does that make these pastors? What does that make me? That makes us stewards. We are stewards. Stewards are somebody that looks after something. Usually, it's something that's not theirs. Belongs to someone else. In this case, it's every child of God. It's the children of God. It's born-again believers, and they belong to the Lord. They belong to God. God has entrusted his children to these pastors, to these stewards, to us, to be careful stewards. So if we then are stewards to those things that belong to God, how good are you at looking after things that aren't yours? I've been to some people's places, and you've been to mine, most likely most of you. You know, I'm not always that good at looking after things. Some of us are particular, and some of us are not. But what are you like with someone else's things? I know I'm better with someone else's things than I am with my own, usually. I want to return the item in the same condition that I got it, or better. But what are you like with God's things? And then we look at everything. I mean, God truly owns everything. Everything we have has been given to us by God. We are just stewards of everything that God gives us, whether it's our house, our car, our bank account. What do you like with his children? What do you like with his children? We live in a throwaway society, don't we? People, you know, they don't even look after their own things. I went to the dump a couple of months ago, and there was a three-seater lounge there, two recliners, and they were in really good nick, and they were just sitting there, dumped. I could have picked them up and sold them for $600. Yet, you know, the person that put them there esteemed them as rubbish. God has entrusted us with his children, yet, and some of us even with physical children. You know, the world, I don't see, before I was saved, before I started coming to church, I wasn't being a good steward with the children the Lord had given me. I really wasn't. They weren't getting fed as they should have. Spiritual, I'm talking spiritual things here, not... I fed and clothed my children, but I wasn't doing what I should have been doing with my children. They weren't in church from the day they were born. What sort of steward are we then with his sheep? What sort of care do we take to ensure that when God takes this child home, that he will be pleased how that child is presented to him? Romans chapter 12 says that, we probably know it off the top of our head, but you know, it's always good to turn there. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, I don't know how many times I read that, and it was just a couple of weeks ago. I noticed the yous and the yees, and then I think it was just 2 days later or something, Pastor was at Sunday school, I think, or maybe it was a message, mentioned the yous and the yees. This is not talking about a single person. He says to the brethren there that we need to present everyone there as a living sacrifice. It says bodies a living sacrifice. Are we edifying one another that each one of us might reflect Christ more in our life? Are we desiring to present us as a body of believers to Christ as a chaste virgin without spot? Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Pastor Phil said this morning that he wanted an abundant entry into heaven. He wants this crown of glory so that he can cast it back at Jesus' feet, the King of glory. That's something good to strive for. That's something that we all ought to strive for. But we need to be good stewards to receive that crown. What sort of stewards are we then? Well, the third word that we have is pretty obvious. It's going to be sheep. Now, what do sheep have? Well, sheep, like every other living organism, have needs. They have needs. They need feeding. They need clean water. Sheep have many needs. In Isaiah chapter 40, it might be good for us to turn there. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Verse 11 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Here it is the Lord. It is the Lord that shall do these things. But he gives indication here of some of the needs of sheep. They at times need to be gathered into our arms. They need to be nurtured. They need to be cared for. We need to care for the sheep. And in this verse we find it being lambs. I'm thankful that Pastor Luke stayed behind this week. Not because I wasn't looking forward to the hard questions that he was going to bring, but because he stayed behind to nurture and care for the flock of God that was at Shining Light. He saw there was a need. He saw there was a need. And he needed to help God's sheep. The verse says, he shall gather lambs, the lambs, with his arms and carry them in his bosom. Of our flock, it's usually the young ones that need help along the way. They need discipleship. They need to be trained, taught in the things of the Lord. They need to be helped along the way. And at times, these young believers need to be gathered in our arms. They need to be protected. That speaks to me, you know. You get something in your arms, you're protecting it. You're protecting it. They are less aware of the dangers, the traps. They are more vulnerable to wolves. Sometimes they are weak. They're learning to walk in the Spirit. They're learning to face the world. They're learning to battle with the flesh, and they need to be carried into His bosom. On the farm, from time to time, we would have to carry calves. When the cow gave birth, and if she decided to do it down the end of the paddock, furthest away from the dairy in that paddock, from time to time, the calf would get knocked up walking in the heat of the day, trying to come home. And we would have to carry that calf. That calf was struggling to walk that far, struggling to keep up with the cow. Often young Christians, they don't set the right pace and they run out of steam. They think they've got to keep up with the cow. There's times when a young Christian goes through something tough and they're hurting and they need their pastor to gather them in their arms, to carry them for a while, to lead them gently so that they find their feet again and to walk for themselves. Sheep have needs. So they have needs. We are shepherds. That was possibly obvious from the verses we read, but they have needs. At times, they need to be given direction. They need someone just to tell them what to do. And the shepherd is the one that can do that, to give an order. We see that the Bible says of Cyrus in Isaiah 44 and verse 28, "He is my shepherd, he shall perform all my pleasure," even saying to Jerusalem, "Thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid." Amen. And then later on, that prophecy is fulfilled, and he says, if you want to go back to Jerusalem, go back to Jerusalem. Sheep have needs, and that need is a shepherd. They need a shepherd. They need someone to watch for their souls, someone that cares for them, someone that loves them, someone that will guide them. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And sometimes it's just good to rest, isn't it? I was thankful last night that I got to lay down. I had a need last night. My legs were aching, and I needed my wife to give my legs a rub. They were aching so much. I don't know why, but I had a need. I had someone there to fulfill that need. In that case, it was my wife. But the Lord is my shepherd, and He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, somewhere that's comfortable, somewhere that's pleasant, somewhere that's cool. You don't find green grass really where it's hot and dry and rocky. It's comfortable. That's why we live in North Queensland. It's comfortable. But that's the problem, because you get comfortable Christians. "He leadeth me beside still waters." You know why? Because He knows that I'm a dumb sheep, and if I got close to a raging river, I'd fall in and drown. And He knows that I need some still water. I need something that's just going to quench my thirst, where I'm not going to get myself into some trouble. He knows my needs. And a shepherd for our flock, knows our needs, knows the needs of his flock. It's why he's given oversight. He's given foresight. He sees the trouble coming. I can relate this back to my life, my days on the farm, quite well, because on the farm we would have cows that need attention. Some would need feet checked, and some on other occasions would need special attention from a vet. But we needed to be aware of their need. We needed to be able to see the problem. We needed to know the solution to the problem. We used to, each year we'd take cattle to the show, and this would increase obviously our work dramatically. And you know, one person on the farm could look after 200 cows quite easily, but when you take 10 cows to the show, you need 4 or 5 people at times to look after just those small number of cows, because it's necessary, there's that much more work. They had to be fed, they had to be watered, they had to be milked, groomed, all those sorts of things. I was a servant at the show. I was a servant to those cattle. I was a slave to those cattle, really. I really was, but willing on my part, and it was self-inflicted. But I was a servant. I was a servant. When the cattle were in the stall or out in the ring being judged, it would show to others if we had been good stewards with them cows, with those cattle. There was one family at the show, and every year they brought their cattle along, and their cattle were just in pristine order. You could tell they were good stewards with their cattle. They cared for their cattle. They knew when there was a problem. They have the vet out there regularly because they see a problem coming and they jump on it before it's a huge problem. Yet there is another family that bring cattle to the show, and you could tell that they were not well looked after. You know, you bring the cattle you're bringing to the show are the ones you've been looking after for a while. And these ones were coming to the show and they didn't look well looked after. And that tells me the rest of the ones at home were worse. They were not good stewards. They were not good stewards. I sort of fit in the middle there, I hope. I would like to be the better steward. But these cattle were a reflection on them. Then on the farm, sometimes cows and calves need extra attention. You know, they need to be protected from wild dogs. They need to be moved to another paddock. They need to be nurtured. Calves need special care. So I can relate a lot of these things in my past experiences in practical ways, in the husbandry sense. But I want to apply these in my life in a spiritual sense. If we go back to our text in John, I want to finish up here. And for the sake of time, we won't read the text again. But you will see in there the question in the text. The question in the text is, do you love me? Do you love me? Peter's answer is, thou knowest I love thee. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that which died for them and rose again. The love of Christ constraineth us. It's the love of Christ that constrains us to preach the word. It's the love of Christ that constrains us to live for him. It's the love of Christ that constrains us to be servants to someone else, to wait on somebody like the ladies waited on us today. It's the love of Christ that constrains us to be good stewards with those things that he's given us, physical belongings, people. It's the love of Christ that constrains us to be shepherds, to watch for people, to care for people, to love people. It's love that moves us to be servants, to be stewards, and to be shepherds. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question in the text. That's the question I want you to ask yourself. Do you love him? The answer that he gives is, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And I'll leave it there, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would engraft the truth, Lord, that's been taught to us tonight, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that may be a different truth for each and every one of us, Lord, but I pray that we would grab hold of that truth. I pray that we would not let that truth go. Lord, that you would use that in our life. Pray, Lord, that this week we might see the beauty of the cross. Lord, that we might peep into an empty tomb. Lord, to see our risen Saviour. Lord, to be at the foot of the cross. Lord, pray, Lord, that you would help us this week to be constrained by your love. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.